We continue our study on the topic of stewardship. Principle number 7. More blessed to give. More blessed to give. Acts 20 verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. The blessing of giving has to be experienced. How can we understand this truth except through the exercise of the faith of our giving? We are to support the weak, those who are unable to return our favor, those who are truly in need. We have to take God at his word to give and experience God's blessing. When we give, we lose what we have given. How can it be more blessed, you ask yourself? We are to take Jesus at his word, to obey and to behold his glory in our lives, in our giving. There are three areas of giving for the Christian's consideration: giving to God, giving to the Lord's work for the extension of his kingdom is to give wisely. By giving, we invest treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, verses 19 to 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. By far the wisest and most rewarding investments of all are those that are given for the furtherance of his work. The scriptures are punctuated with commands, warnings, and promises regarding the need to lay up treasures in heaven rather than on earth. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 to 19. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Giving to the Lord beyond the tithe will be prompted by him and confirmed perhaps by your wife. The prompting will be completely consistent with scriptural guidelines. How to give? Jesus taught us to give secretly. Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 to 4. When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which is in secret, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Giving to the fatherless and widows, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Giving to God, giving to the poor. Proverbs 19 verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Richard said well on this verse. The ordinance of God is that the poor shall never cease out of the land. Hence, the universal obligation is to have pity upon the poor. We must open our heart as much as our hand. Deuteronomy 15 verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of any one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart nor shut thy hand from thy poor brother. Deuteronomy 15 verse 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. Giving to needy Christians, Romans 12 verse 13a, distributing to the necessity of saints, 1 Timothy 1 verses 17 to 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Galatians 6 verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. The injunction to remember to do good for the needs of the saints with humbleness of heart, looking out for opportunity to bless a brother or sister in Christ with your giving. D. Giving to Christian leaders. 1 Timothy 5 verses 17 to 18. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. In addition to giving to individual Christian leaders, we can also contribute to groups that have united to accomplish particular ministries. In the day of Paul, an interchurch ministry was commissioned by the Holy Spirit and church leaders to collect an offering from the Gentile Christians for the Jewish believers. Gentile Christians were urged to give to this fund, and many did so sacrificially. Also, the house of Stephanus had a special ministry to the saints, and Christians were urged to support them. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 5, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. There are several important criteria which should be used to evaluate the worthiness of giving to such a ministry. Firstly, is the ministry and its leadership under spiritual authority of a local church which honors the word of God? Paul carried on a ministry outside the local church, yet he was sent out by a local church and remained under its spiritual authority. He also reported back to his local church. Acts 13 verses 1 to 3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost separated me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Acts 14 verse 27. And when they were come after the journey, after they have gone out and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So Paul was sent by, together with his co-workers, by the church at Antioch. And after they have labored, they came back to this local church at Antioch to rehearse all what God had done with them. Is the ministry strengthening the local church? God's agency to carry out his program during this age is the local church. Every Christian ministry which is worthy of support will strengthen both church leaders and members to fulfill their God-given responsibilities. Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 12. And he gave some for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Does the ministry teach and maintain godly standards? Many ministries allow themselves to be squeezed into the mold of the world. Their worldly appearance and approach is an attempt to identify with the world, to reach them. However, this philosophy is unscriptural and leads to destructive temptations. Titus 2, verses 11 to 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world. Is there evidence of God's supernatural workings? God is a supernatural God. He confirms His ministries by demonstrating His supernatural power through them. The evidence of God's power should include genuine, lasting conversions, Christians freed from the power of sin, broken marriages restored, and God's provision in answer to prayer. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4, my preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Is the ministry based on sound doctrine? Fifthly, sound doctrine begins by acceptance of the verbally inspired and preserved Word of God. It recognizes that Jesus Christ is perfect God and perfect man. Doctrinal error is usually a symptom of deeper problems which will eventually diminish or destroy the potential of a ministry. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Wise, generous and spirit-directed giving brings multiplied dividends for you and your family, both in this life and the one which is to come. Mark 10 verses 29 to 31, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, that no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, and houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, the last first. We seek God's ways, we shall not be disappointed. Remember the warning from Proverbs 1 verses 23 to 26. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. May we learn well these principles for eternal benefit, that we may be good stewards for the Lord's sake. Amen. Principle 1, God ordained work for wages. Principle 2, God is the giver of wealth. Principle 3, God requires that we give of our first fruits to Him. Principle 4, God instructs us to provide for the needs of our family. Principle 5, enjoy the fruit of your labor. Principle 6, the wise man saves and avoids taking debts. Principle 7, which we have just gone through, more blessed to give. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy grace, and bless us along to be good stewards for Thy honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.